Hey there.
I'm Jamie, the New Yorker.
And I'm Talia, the Brit.
And you're listening to the Get Down, Lowdown.
Dating can be hard.
We get it.
The ins,
outs,
the ups,
the downs,
and the going downs.
Well, we're here to try to help demystify this conundrum.
To dig deep into the whos, the hows, and the whys of everything from ghosting to foreplay.
To sextiquette, to FOMD, and more.
We're not saying we have all the answers.
But as two women in the Big Apple who love getting down as much as the next gal,
it's only fitting that we give you the lowdown on what we've learned. Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, Tals.
Hey, Jamie. This is so fun. We're back.
Yay. Guys, I haven't seen Jamie in like 2 weeks.
I know. It's been pretty devastating, especially after our 5 days together in Ocean City, Maryland.
I know.
Like, and then we had like separation anxiety.
Literally. I was just so happy to see you today. I've been getting withdrawal.
This is what happens when you become an adult and your life gets too busy and it's terrible. It's not even like social things that are taking up my time these days.
Nope.
It's just work and life.
Yeah.
And the Jewish holidays. All that atoning.
Yeah. Attaining's always rough.
Don't you feel so much lighter right now?
I do, actually.
Completely absolved of sin.
Completely. And that is really such a good thing about Judaism.
A special friend was like, you have a lot of atoning to do. And I was like, stop.
Yeah, everyone said that to me as well. I'm like, fuck you.
I love that we're considered to be so sin-laden.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
better than the alternative.
Yeah, being vanilla.
Full of angelic qualities.
Full of peace and
bullshit.
Where did you go for Kol Nidre or Yom Kippur? Did you get to shul?
I did. For the 25 hours, I think I calculated I spent about 10 hours in temple and 12 hours sleeping. And I don't know what I was doing for the other 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Probably not. I was going to say masturbating, but probably not on Yom Kippur.
No, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to.
Oh, shit.
You're allowed to have sex on Yom Kippur.
I've definitely done masturbate to pass the time on Yom Kippur before growing up. And
well, I don't use electricity. You use your hands.
Does a battery count as electricity?
Like, I don't turn lights on. I don't use money. Like, we're super, super observant on Yom Kippur.
That's amazing. Okay.
Sort of.
Yeah, that's... Just for the big festivals, you don't do that stuff.
Just Yom Kippur. That's the just only one. Like Rosh Hashanah, we don't get into a car. We won't use money, but like we'll use technology. Like we use the phone and we'll turn on the TV and stuff like that. But on Yom Kippur, it's literally sitting and reading and sleeping and
yeah. Reflecting. I mean, it's really you are really meant to be just thinking.
Yeah.
Do you go to shul in Park Slope?
Yeah. So for Rosh Hashanah, I went to a new service, which was actually kind of interesting. It was like a more reform. Type of experience. They had like a 4-piece band, like the cantor singing, and just like a more modern version of Judaism.
Nice.
Because my brother and his wife converted, and they just wanted a different, like we go to a Lubavitch synagogue with my family, so this was an opportunity to have a kind of different, more low-key dynamic.
Did
but
you
it
like
was
it
really far away? I don't like going to shul.
So you didn't even like the low-key?
I mean, it was fine. It was
service.
Fine.
Yeah, I feel like that's a bit more engaging sometimes.
It was, and it was nice to be able to sit with my brother, because we usually sit separately, and I think that was important to his wife.
Yeah, that's really important to me.
But it was fine.
And I wasn't going to do anything, because I just thought I'd be working all night, and I actually went to therapy, and then I came out on Tuesday night, and I was like, actually, I think this is exactly when Kol Nidre service starts, and it was kind of uncanny. It was one of those, like, godly moments where I, like, Googled where
the angels open up the heavens and they're like, Talia, go to temple.
It was like, Talia needs to repent this year. It was like, basically the service started 0.2 miles away in like 10 minutes.
Oh my God,
I had no excuse
so
not to
funny.
Go. And it was at the, what's it called? Prince William or Prince George Ballroom. It's like on...
That sounds very non-Jewish.
Yeah, you're right. It's not like a Jewish space, but basically it's this huge, beautiful room that's like embellished with gold.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And it's massive and it's a Where free it? Service.
That's amazing also. All these services are so
free. It's right by the Smith. Yeah, no, it's free. So
that's how I knew
which one to look up. I went 2 years ago, and it's Judith Hoffman is the rabbi. And apparently she started it like 10 years ago. She was on the way to synagogue, and she saw this young couple being turned away on Kol Nidre because they hadn't paid in advance or booked.
So reprehensible.
So she's like, I'm going to start this service for hundreds of younger
young
Jewish people. And so there's two Kol Nidres. There's one at 6:30, and I went to the 8:30 session, and
wow.
I made friends
How do they
with
make
this
money?
Cool girl. Donations.
Oh.
And it was, I mean, really, what they should do is get everyone to put their number that's single in a hat afterwards, because there were so many cute single Jewish people there, and everyone was just looking
should
around.
Should we contact her?
I don't know if she'd be up for it, but she's such a cool rabbi.
She has two shit eyes at her disposal. We're the real deal.
Indeed. So that was, I'm really glad I did that, but I didn't fast on Yom Kippur Day. I was just back to back at work and that's stuff, okay, but I did a little bit of repenting. And
you look like you have a happy glow of atonement.
Thanks, babe. I think that's just the candlelight that I lit to seduce she you made in my apartment.
Mood lighting for us. She also has no fewer than five drinks on the table, which is ridiculous, and also is so Talia.
None of them are alcohol, though.
She's drinking all of these, like, teas, and I just am surrounded by unwrapped candy. It's pretty accurate for our lives. It's like a microcosm of the Jamie-Talia dynamic right now.
Pretty much.
I love it.
So what else, babe? So work's been crazy.
I switched teams. I'm pretty excited. I get to write naughty headlines for a living now.
That is, like, perfect.
It is, my personal brand. People are like, oh my god, you were, like, made to write for this brand.
At some point, you should write for condoms.
I know. I told you, I applied for a job at the Museum of Sex years ago, and they're like, oh, we don't have enough, like, evidence that you're capable of writing about this sort of stuff. Now, obviously, I would get the job, but in part B. Yeah, so now I'm, like, living it. And plus with my blog and our lovely podcast, I feel like we're the sex-positive people that we were meant to be.
Totally. Embodying our true passions and desires.
Love it.
I love it. I had an interesting thing happen this week. I don't know if you can see this crack in the ceiling. We're in my apartment right now, but there was a bit of a monsoon on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I was working in my pajamas, and my ceiling started flooding in three different places.
If you guys want to see what it looks like, you can check out our Instagram, and you can see evidence of Talia's ceiling.
I'm going to show people my shoddy ceiling. It was pouring through one of my light fixtures like a nipple, just like streaming down, and yeah, I've got a crack across the ceiling and New York old buildings. Anyway, I think it was just a blocked gutter drain in the end that seeped in, but that was like just what I didn't need this in this crazy week. But fun and games. On the good side, though, I did get my first. I've started to write under my name, Podcast Inspired. So instead of doing my anonymous blog, which I'm still doing, I got my first article published under my actual name for Zoosk, the date mix.
So exciting.
About six reasons why weddings are the perfect place to meet someone. So if you're interested, Google that. So that was exciting.
That's so great. Guys, and Zoosk, if you don't know what it is, it's a dating site.
It's actually not big in New York.
I've heard of it.
It's like really big outside of New York. And I think it's like one of the more proper dating sites. I think it's more like Match.com.
Oh, nice. Vibe. So you have to pay for it.
I think so. Don't quote me on this, but they have a pretty serious publication with like an editor, the date mix.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's like what I submitted for.
That's so exciting.
I've also done a video for them before on flirting tips, actually. So there is a video.
Oh, right.
There is a video. That's how I got started. But yeah, Jamie and I, if you want to follow our Facebook page, it's www.facebook.com/thegdld. And we're going to start posting links to our articles.
Yeah.
Not the anonymous ones, but the ones under our names. All so you can read about us in between waiting for the next podcast episode or read from us here.
You need more of us.
Yeah, totally.
What is our first topic?
we somebody mentioned this after our last episode that like I drive a lot of the topic.
That's just because my brain doesn't work like that.
Yeah, Jamie's a little bit more creative vibe, and so it just like goes with the flow. But I'm like,
we have producers to tell us what to do.
Yeah, so I'm like holding the agenda here. I have a list in front of me. We discuss the topics and agree them before, so and then I move us on because you know time is money and we've got drinks to be had. It's Saturday night.
Exactly.
So our first topic, correct, you know vaguely what it is. It's dating people with pets.
Yes. And that's, I remember now because I just published an article about my beautiful new adorable cock blocking dog. Who's not technically my dog, special friend. Don't worry, I'm not stealing him.
So Jamie is dating somebody with a pet.
And I have a pet.
And she has a pet. Holy moly.
So many exciting things. And I'm, as you know, my entire family is veterinarians. My dad's a vet. My brother's a vet. My brother's wife is a vet.
Bunch of
so
animals.
So animals are like a part of my life. And I can't imagine ever dating somebody who doesn't love animals or couldn't tolerate living with animals.
Aww.
And it's very interesting. I'm convinced that there's just like a mass coup from the men of Manhattan that they got together and they're like, okay, ready? None of us are going to date people with cats. It's going to be a thing. We're just going to tell them we're allergic. Like every fucking man in Manhattan is not magically allergic to cats. So I think there was like a conversation that took place offline. Fuck you all very much. Thank you. Because I have a cat and I feel like I've been biased against as a quote unquote cat woman, which I also take issue with that term. It is very offensive. I'm not a cat woman. I just happen to love my pussy. And so people are like, I can't date you. You have a cat. So when Special and a friend and I started dating and I mentioned him, I have a cat, and he's like, I don't date cat women. And I was like, well, you're dating a cat woman now. So like, what the fuck are you going to do about it? And he's like, I don't know. I'll figure it out. Needless to say, we haven't figured it out.
The cat's still in your apartment.
The cat still lives in my apartment. I go home 3 nights a week to see her and feed her and cuddle with her tiny little furry body so she can bite me. Aww. And we can continue business as usual because I love her. She's my mostly companion.
And so you had this with other guys before Special Friend?
Or yes, I've gotten a lot of quote unquote, I'm allergic to your cat, I can't come over. I'm like, this is just an excuse to not come to my apartment because you're lazy. Yeah. But maybe it's not. Maybe they're actually allergic. I know you're actually allergic. So I'm not diminishing allergies entirely, but I do think that there is an overwhelming quantity of men who are allergic to cats.
How interesting. And then Special Friend, since you've been dating, got this dog, right?
He's adopted a dog who I fucking love because I love all animals. Like, he could have gotten a turtle and I would have been like, oh my God, it's so cute.
You're the stepmom.
I am the stepmom. And I love this dog. I love him to pieces. I get sad when I'm away from him. We literally sleep, like, he cuddles in my arms and we fall asleep like that.
So he gets into bed with you guys.
He sleeps in between us.
And that doesn't make any like less sexy time in the bedroom for you, like no mood killer?
It did for the first 2 months. So we basically like before would have sex when we got into bed and like we're about to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Now we have sex beforehand. So we figured this out. It's more like I come over right after work and then we bang and then we move on. So there's
like less... Why does that mean that, so the dog's not in the bed at that time?
Right, because like we're not going to sleep. Like when we get into bed at night,
that's
it's to go to sleep.
That's when the dog jumps in.
Exactly.
So you have sex not because you can't have sex with the dog in the
slash
bed?
In the shower slash in the bathroom. We have to like get... No, the dog cannot be in bed when we're having sex.
Yeah, okay. Because I haven't read your article yet. I've been dying
to. Oh my God, you have to read
it. So I don't know.
I'm getting a lot of positive feedback on it.
I don't know what the dog... So the dog actually got in between you, or is it... You said something about it humping your leg?
Oh my God, yeah. He was humping me for a while. He stopped humping me because now he's been puppy trained.
Oh, good.
Yes. So he's definitely like understanding a little bit more. And we figured out how to distract him. Like we just have to like give him a little toy, whatever, and then he goes off on the side and it's all fine, but it definitely was a little bit of a challenge for the first couple of months while he was getting adjusted.
I can't even imagine that.
Having a dog watching you bang?
Yeah. Yeah, or having to like deal with what to do with a pet while you want to have
sex.
That's
the beauty of cats. They don't bother you. Although it was so funny. I was dating this guy probably like 2 years ago, and on our second date, we went to a comedy show, and one of the bits was about like this woman who dumped a guy. It was like these two women who were doing stand-up about breakups and dumping and dating and all that stuff. And she basically said that she broke up with a guy because he disrespected her cat. Which I think is just like a perfect term. So anyway, I dated this guy for like 2 months, whatever. And I remember he came over to my apartment and he was allergic, but I think he's like, I'm going to be fine. But he was so fucking freaked out that Lola was like sitting there watching us. And I was like, it's a cat. Like, it's different if it's a dog, because I feel like dogs are more interactive, like it's a totally different dynamic. But the cat, I was like, she's fine. He's like, could not have sex while she was in the same room with us. And I live in a studio, so I was like, this is gonna be a thing. So anyway, we broke up and it was kind of hysterical. He texted me afterwards and was like, is it because I disrespected your cat? I was like, kind of.
See, that like he couldn't handle the cat watching, but I feel like if somebody was actually like mean to your pet,
oh my God,
that would be like,
no, that's not even it. I couldn't date somebody who doesn't love animals. If you can't love a helpless creature, how are you gonna love me?
God, it's amazing that we're friends. Shit, is now the time to tell Jamie that
you don't like animals at all?
No. Okay, I don't know.
You were sweet with Bernie. You met him.
Yeah, I had two dogs growing up. Oh, all okay. I wanted when I was a kid was to get a dog. I would beg my parents because my dad was allergic and they were like, we can't. And then eventually we moved into a house with a big enough yard that we could have two big dogs. And then I slowly sort of lost interest over the years. I do love dogs. I really don't bond with cats.
No, that's fine.
And I'm fucking allergic.
I understand people don't like all animals, but like
I don't hate animals.
I know.
But if I had to choose between dating a guy with an animal or not, I would definitely go with not. And I think for me, it's just a hygiene thing. I think I'm a little bit OCD.
I get it.
And if there was a dog, you know, your dog goes out, they're on the streets of New York, they're sniffing everything, they're like eating their own shit or whatever the dogs do.
Oh yeah, and then licking your
they
face.
Come in,
oh, it's totally
and
they, disgusting.
Well, face, no, not even my hands. Like even if I'm petting them, I'll feel like I've got to go. And also the hairs on the couches and just doesn't work.
for me, cleanliness equals sexy. I'm the kind of person that like loves to take a shower before getting intimate, or like I don't have to. Sometimes it's fun to do it sweaty after the gym, but so, but I think I could adjust. But if I got to choose, like when I'm going through online dating, if I see a guy with a cat, I almost like choke in my mouth and swipe left immediately. A dog, I'm like, oh, I suppose. I know, I'm like fucking cruel.
Oh my God, you're hysterical. You're not cruel. You just have your proclivities. I get it. Oh, I mean, right now I'm wearing a pretty dress that I just bought myself because I had a really stressful week. So I deal with it with retail therapy. And I was just at the dog park and there was like 50 dogs and they were all coming over to me and jumping on me. And I was like, oh my God, not on my fucking dress. And I was wearing a white shirt the other day when I went to the dog park, and the, like a white silk shirt that is now in the dry cleaner. It's totally annoying. I totally get it. But, you know.
But you love them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I
just don't like it when they lick my face.
So that but is a hard no for me.
I let him anyway.
You let the guy's dog lick your face and your lips? Oh, because that's the thing. Even if you don't let them do it to you, the dog licks your partner's face and then they want to kiss you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
And he is also super clean. So I'm like, I don't understand this. This makes no sense. Your dog literally just ate shit off the street and now you're like letting him touch your face, but whatever.
I don't get it.
He just loves dogs so much.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I'm so happy that you found someone that loves animals. I mean, that's
I feel
awesome.
Like he's like a more like tried and true animal lover than I am even. Like I've always had animals in my life. So they're like a little bit, they just make sense in my life. Yeah. But he's like obsessed with his dog. Like he'll go to work and text me and be like, I really miss Bernie.
Has he got, my sister has a boxer dog in England and she has one of those.
The cams.
The webcams that watch it while it's in daycare. It goes to daycare every day.
Holy shit.
Which is very expensive.
People love their animals. Thank God. It put me through college.
So I'm curious because it feels like there's more people in New York that are our age or younger even that have pets, single people that have pets. And I was thinking about this. Yeah, my theory is that although New York is like so fucking crowded, we're all lonely as hell because we're
want love, unconditional
and
love.
So it's like a big city thing. I mean, I know people have them in ranches as well, but it's just weird considering how little space there is, how many people have animals. Companionship.
Yeah.
I think there's something
I
to
love
that.
Cuddling her little furry body.
Well, this is it, isn't it? It's like she's in lieu so of fuzzy. Physical contact of a person all the time, if you're single, get a pet.
Totally.
I'm thinking about it.
Are you going to get a pet?
Well,
do you want a doggy? Oh my God, you would look so cute.
I just don't think I can handle the response. I'm a commitment phobe, but maybe like a guinea pig.
Oh my God, they're the most annoying smelly creatures. Okay. I had one. Don't get a guinea pig.
What's the best thing I could stroke
like a
the least key? High maintenance? Like a
hypoallergenic cat.
Sorry, visceral reaction.
Well, a coworker of mine was like, I don't believe you got a dog. I was like, I didn't get a dog, but that's insulting. Why? She's like, you seem like a really irresponsible human being.
That's nice. You did tell me you almost got hit by a car today twice.
Three times. And then I opened my cab door into a bike rider.
Holy crap.
He was like about to kill me. He was about to kill me.
Oh, yeah. James.
I know.
And the other thing is, in England, everyone's cats go out and about all day and roam free because they can and they have a cat flap.
Lola would die.
Yeah,
she would actually die. She has no street smarts.
You just see flat cats.
She brought me a mouse once that she caught in my apartment and she like opened her mouth and was like going to drop it on the floor and be like, look, I brought you this treat.
It
was alive. I was like, dude, you fucked up. Like, you can't even kill this little mouse. You're terrible.
What to do with it. She's like, giving it you as an offering.
She's like licking me with this like adorable little look on her face. I was like, dude, you fucked up. Aww. I love you, but you fucked up.
So dating people with pets. Jamie's a yay. Talia's a nay if I have to.
So fellow non-pet owners, get in touch with Talia if you want to have a good time.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
it makes things easier. I mean, I stress out all the time that I'm not home enough with my cat. And that I don't love her enough. And like every time I go on vacation or if I go on business trips, like it's always sorting shit through. And I'm incredibly lucky that my superintendent lives next door to me and his children don't have a pet. And they're like very happy to come and watch the cat when I'm away.
That is very nice.
It's super stressful.
Yeah, well, I need somewhere to... I'm in between apartments in November, actually. So if anyone has anyone where for me to live, thegdld@gmail.com. I'm open to suggestions. but my friend said I could stay in her place over at least the second half of the month while she's home for Thanksgiving if I look after her dog. And I was like, ooh. And she was like, it's okay.
It's a lot of responsibility.
I know. She was like, it's okay, Talia. I know pets aren't in your repertoire.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, it's like you're a parent, suddenly a parent.
Totally. It's like as much responsibility. And you have to like watch them all the time. Like he destroyed a pair of my running sneakers already, which to be fair, I did leave out in the hallway after being reprimanded for leaving them out in the hallway. But I got myself a really pretty new pair instead.
Oh, yeah? Why'd you get your running shoes?
I wear the same ones. Brooks Adrenaline GTS.
That your face?
I'm wearing them for 15 years.
Wow.
They're just the ones that I'm like a tried and true loyalist to Brooks.
Very cool.
Because they're like the ones that I know that I run well in and that feel good.
I use their sports bras. They're pretty good as well.
Brooks, shout out if you guys want to give us running sneakers or sports bras or any of that fun stuff. Yay, Ty Brooks. And I are both athletes.
Sorry, me as an athlete. But yeah, I mean, on my good days, I went to Barry's boot camp. Oh my God, fucking.
I want to do Barry's.
Okay, so really announcement. Hot. This is, you wonder where all the hot guys work out? They're all at Barry's. I almost, like, my knees almost buckled a few times today, and it wasn't so from high. The treadmill. Yeah. There was two guys ripped off their shirts on round two.
Like, actually just ripped it off.
Ripped off. Okay, I didn't see them remove it, but then in my head, they ripped it off. But I...
Ty is basically her mental... And her mental gymnastics are just like a porno in action. She's like, and then he took off his sweaty shirt and wrung it out over his face, and as the sweat droplets ripple down his chest.
Basically. I mean, this is like what Barry's is, for those of you that hasn't been, is like a...
It's an orgasm in a room.
It's a dark room with 360 mirrors. Oof. And the lighting is light enough that you can see everyone, but everyone looks their best possible self. So ooh, like you go in wearing no makeup, but it looks like you've been like made up ready for the red carpet.
I wanna go with you.
Yeah, and it's like that you walk in, and also even when you check in, there's like very sexual smelling candles. Oof. Like the good ones. And then it's like mainly men. It's like, so yeah, like the one I laid on for you tonight. Mm. It's about 70% men, or maybe 60% men.
And they're straight?
Wearing, so that's why I don't know. Mm. I didn't want to ask. I didn't want to ruin the fantasy.
Yeah.
Some were very obviously gay.
Yeah.
But the, oh my God. And this, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal goes in NYC. My
Does
friend's
he?
Been with him before. He goes to the early morning sessions.
He
I don't
Day
know.
Jake.
I wish.
Holy shit.
I don't know
shit.
Which one he goes to, actually. I went to the one in NoHo, but I was just, talk about motivation when you can see all these men in the mirror to run. And then you basically alternate between treadmill sprints and hills, and then like sets on the floor. So you do three sets of each and you switch.
How
so
long is it?
It's an hour, and you constantly, so the people on the floor switch with the people on the treadmill. So you get a chance to like walk past each other like six times. And I was
do you
just
like a partner?
No, you just have the person that's got your same number, but you switch. So no partner. It's all individual. I mean, clearly there's a lot of egos in the room, but it's beautiful to look at.
Oh my God, I want to come with you.
Yeah, so we can go to Barry's together. I mean, I was thinking like you would not be able to contain yourself.
Oh my God, I love it.
It's so exciting.
Look,
so
but don't touch.
That was enjoyable.
Well, that leads into our next topic, actually.
Oh, yes.
Which is flirting when you're in a relationship.
Wait, no.
No, we're not doing that.
That is our... That is our...
Ask us anything.
Ask us anything. But it also...
I'm terrible at...
No, but your segue was perfect for what, in fact, is our second topic, which is consent, because you just said look but don't touch. So it's like if I went up to the
guy
in Barry's, everything just flows. Just flows. Oh, baby. We're just so interconnected.
Well, it was funny, after we had our last podcast, or maybe it was a couple of podcasts ago, where I was telling a story about my friend who like we went from being friends, and we had platonic sleepovers, and then there was one night and he tried to kiss me, and he like asked me if it was okay, and I was like, oh, the fact that he just asked me kind of killed the mood. A friend of mine who I used to work with contacted me and was like, I want to delve a little bit deeper into that conversation and talk about consent generally speaking. Like in today's day and age, being where we are and what the political climate is and everything that's happening, is consent a necessity in every facet of the relationship? Like how does that all kind of work out?
In every facet of relationship, or just talking about sex?
Well, he was talking specifically, he's like, said that he was dating somebody who I guess mentioned like she didn't like that he was asking. She kind of like called him a little bit of a pussy for like doing it, and I was like, you shouldn't be dating somebody who, like, if that's something that's important to you and you feel comfortable doing that, then that's who you should, like, that's fine. You should never be, you know, discouraged or dissuaded from doing something like that and asking permission if you think that's what's acceptable and that's what you're comfortable with.
I think it's lovely when people ask. I mean, it's so tough. I mean, and also it's like consent for everything. I mean, we've been on so many first dates where guys just think it's okay to just touch you
and
all
I hate
over
that.
On the first
date. Oh my God,
date.
It's the worst, where you're sitting there, like, put your hand on their hand on your knee, and you're like sitting on a bar stool, and you're like, oh, don't touch me.
Actually, so this, a few weeks ago, I went on a date with a new guy, and it was our first date. It was quite fun, actually. So, we were just going to meet on my way to a party in Washington Square Park.
Oh, yeah,
and say hi. And then
Your new approach to dating, which is more low-key.
Yeah, more low-key. And I was already dressed up going to something else. We met in a park. It then turned into coffee. It then turned into... And he was on the way to the gym. And then we both got too hungry to go to the party or the gym. And he lived, like, really close and had snacks in his apartment. But he hadn't laid one hand on me in terms of, you know, when you fancy someone on a first date, there's usually a little bit of touching, yeah, a little bit of need,
like a hand on the back.
Yeah. Or... so it was so funny because I'm so used to that. And when I was in his apartment, like we had some tuna fish and carrots or whatever. And then I was like, I just don't beat around the bush. I just was like, okay, so listen, we've been together like 6 hours. We both missed what we were going to do. I can't tell if you're attracted to me at all. And he's like, why not? And
I love that you were so blunt.
I was, yeah, I was blunt. And I was like, I can't tell if you're into me. And he's like, what gives you that idea? And I said, well, for starters, you haven't said anything, but also you haven't touched me once. Yeah. And he's like, well, what if you didn't want to be touched? And I was like, fuck, he's so right. Like, that is such a gentlemanly, normal thing to say. Anyway, it turns out he did like me and soon after leant over to offer me a kiss, which was very, very polite and didn't push for anything. And it left the ball all in my court. And that's how it should be, really. But well, I'm just so used to...
I agree with you to a point. Mm. I guess I don't necessarily... like, I feel like I'm pretty overt with my interest. Yeah. And I feel like I've actually recoiled in situations if I don't want to be touched.
Well, yeah.
And I feel like if you get to a point, so this friend was specifically talking about, like, once you're in the bedroom, yeah, I feel like once you kind of get to that point, again, even as the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm questioning if I actually agree with this, but I'm like,
no,
I feel like the intent has already been made that, like, yeah, you're going to be doing something, but I guess it's like, how much do you want to do, especially if it's early on?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, if you want to make out and, like, dry hump, that's completely different from having sex.
Well, that's the thing, because I agree with you there. Like, I think that consent, you can tell consent from things other than necessarily a verbal confirmation, but that's obviously where the lines have gotten blurry. But I feel like if you take things slow, and there is some kind of degree of body language where you can kind of say, is this okay by doing it physically?
Right.
It's so hard. I've always been okay with that. I've never...
with people asking.
With people not asking.
Right.
It doesn't happen every time.
Right.
But and you, like, can normally tell if somebody is into it. But the thing is, that has been used against women for when... I can't remember the name of the... one of the recent rape cases where he was like, she was definitely into it. And she was like... and she said, no, I definitely wasn't.
Yeah.
So...
nonverbal communication doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work. But obviously, that's probably... I reckon I'm 50-50 in times where it's been nonverbal versus, like...
well, I'm with the Aziz Ansari thing that we were just talking about. Like, she was okay with certain things happening. And then, like, I feel like she actually kind of regressed the situation about consent a little bit, because she was kind of making it seem like he did things without her permission when, like, she was kind of, from what I understood, kind of had been granting him permission and then got upset when he was, like, basically just following her lead. It's complicated. Obviously, we weren't there. I have no idea what transpired between these two people.
But if someone feels uncomfortable...
right.
And then also there's, like, power play positions where people don't feel like they are in a position to say something. Right. The woman doesn't feel like she can say... and people just... you just need to be so sad. My view is just at the moment, for the guys that are just, like, head-fucking out there, just when in doubt, ask, I would say. No. And you can make it sexy. I think you can make it sexy.
We're just, like, in a weird space right now.
We're in a weird space right now.
Everybody is litigious. I mean, we were also talking about Brett Kavanaugh and the Supreme Court hearings that are happening right now. And this woman who, 20 years ago... basically came forward when she thought that he was about to get elected into the Supreme Court. Like, he's pretty close to getting elected, and they're in the midst of all these hearings. And this woman came forth and said that 25 years ago or whatever like that, he and a friend assaulted her. And why didn't she speak up beforehand? And it was because, like, I guess it was a traumatic thing for her. She didn't feel like it was necessary to talk about it. But now she's like, this guy's about to get sworn into the Supreme Court. It's my obligation to raise my hand and be like, this guy did fucked up shit 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's just very timely and topical. And I think it's, I hate to say this, but it's a hard time to be a guy.
It's a hard time.
I never
to be
thought
a guy.
I would say that, but, like, it's everybody's word against you, and I feel like everybody's coming out, and probably 90% of the situations are 100% accurate and valid, and some of them are probably fabricated because people are unhappy with situations, and it's just really, really sticky.
It's very sticky. What do you think about it the other way around? So I've had times where I've been, like, game for having sex or taking it further, and then the guys sort of said no or stopped me and not given me consent. I think everything else kind of often sometimes flows. It's just actually, like, do you want to have sex? Right. I feel like often is a question that I will ask.
Right.
And I've had a couple of guys say, like, one guy said he doesn't, you know, have sex with someone that he's just met.
Yeah.
Or somebody say, like, no, I'm not ready yet. And I think it's lovely. Totally, and I'm so glad I asked.
Oh, I just get pissed at them. No, I'm kidding.
Jamie just puts a hand over the mouth and climbs on top. JK.
Oh my god. But it's ridiculous. Like, we're even joking about that because, like, that is rape.
That is rape.
And if I was to actually do that, that would be me raping somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. This one time I said to a guy, do you want to move it to the bedroom? And he was like, I don't want to do this tonight. And then we ended up going anyway to the bedroom. He did take me there in the end, but then I was like, wait, is he doing something he doesn't want to do? Because he already said no, but now he took me to the bedroom and I was all confused.
Well, and I feel like that's the quintessential, like, the girl always being like, I never do this, I never sleep with anybody on the first date, like, that conversation. How many times have we been guilty of saying that?
Well, yeah, how many? And, like, I think the thing with consent is, like, you can, it, consent has to be asked again in the moment, because it can change moment to moment. It can be no, 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 yes, and that's okay.
Right.
And it can be, as long as it's not been, like, forced. Yeah. And it can be yes, 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 no. Right. And so I think keeping checking in through whatever physical, verbal cues you can.
I just read that article on Refinery29. It was about a dominatrix, and she was talking about consent and maintaining sexiness throughout. Like, obviously her job is to dominate somebody. Like, that's the sexual appeal of having a dominatrix.
Right.
It's a person who's basically saying, you're going to listen to me.
Yes.
So how do you say you have to listen to me while simultaneously giving me consent? Because to your point, if they're going through the motions and she's doing her thing and she slaps him on the ass and he's really into it, and then she's like, I'm going to slap you on your face, and he's not into that.
Yes.
You have to consistently make sure that they're comfortable with every single facet of what's happening.
And I guess that's why they have safe words.
Right.
You know what? I reckon there's something we could learn from the BDSM world. They probably are like 10 steps ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just all rules and consent and yes and no. It's like actually
comfort level and boundaries. And
yeah. It's a lot more black defined and white. It's gray with the rest of us. That's so interesting.
Is our key takeaway that we should behave more like dominatrixes in the bedroom?
Nailed it. And I think we should get one on the show and talk to them as well.
Oh my God, that's actually such a good idea.
Yeah.
We totally should.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, great, great topic, James.
Do you know any dominatrixes?
If anyone is a...
Actually, I do know somebody. I know somebody who knows somebody. I'll get in touch with him.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking for a side hustle, so a side career.
You'd be
career
such change. A fucking sexy dominatrix.
Do you think?
I literally just imagined you in like a short leather skirt and high heels. You would look so hot with like a whip.
Thanks, babe.
Oof.
Maybe we can do a giveaway one day of Jamie and Talia dominatrix duo.
That could be fun. That could be a fun side hustle.
We have a great Ask Us Anything today. I felt like this is just a big question. So here it is. I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years and it's going great. Recently, a guy started at work and I've been flirting with him. He knows I have a boyfriend, so it's harmless, but I feel very weird and extremely guilty about it. What are the laws of flirting when you're in a relationship?
Oof.
Oh my God.
What a goodie.
It's so hard.
Well, I guess my first impression is that she's feeling guilty because she likes him a little bit.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be feeling guilty. Like, I flirt with people all the time, but it's 100% harmless because I know that I'm not interested in them.
Yes. That is, I'm sure that's where the guilt's coming from. But you're not going to go through your life never being interested in another person ever.
Yeah.
So it's how do you deal with that, and then what do you do about it? I mean, I feel like it's completely healthy to be attracted to multiple people. We are like animals after all, and that is going to happen. And I don't know if... And then flirting also is like what makes us feel good and how we interact with the world. And it's fun. And as long as they know you're not available and you're not leading them on, I think it's fair.
I think that there's, for better or worse, the assumption that even if you've said you're not available, if there's an element of flirting, back to the consent thing, you're like, if you're flirting with me, then like maybe there's a chance that you'll cheat on your boyfriend, or maybe there's a chance that like... you're up for a little fun. Who knows? Like, the rules of sex and relationships and monogamy and polygamy and all that stuff are so transient right now that I feel like it's so complicated.
I think, though, and this is something that came through in Esther Perel's Redefining Infidelity book, that often what keeps couples hot is the presence of a third. Mm. So the fact that we go out and we do flirt and do find other people attractive, and there's like jokes of threesomes or whatever, you come back to your partner and it makes your relationship hotter than ever.
Yeah.
And if you actually like don't allow that,
you get all this pent up shit.
And then people end up like cheating or like doing something crazy or like miserable.
Yeah.
So I think it's really healthy. But at the same time, what do you do about that feeling of guilt? Because I guess you can either stop flirting or you can somehow make yourself okay with what you're doing and feel less guilty about it. I think feel like those are the options. So,
it's I'm trying to think if I have any similar situations right now. I don't think there's anybody I'm like.
I, like, when I've been in relationships in the past, I still flirt very heavily with other people. It's almost, I need it because it makes me feel
sexy and
alive.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me feel guilty because I know that
at the end of the day, you're not going to act on it.
My intention, yeah.
And do you tell your partner that you flirt with other people?
So I think that's a really interesting point because I feel like that is definitely one of the options. I feel like just laying it on the, having that conversation, if you have that kind of relationship where you know it would be okay,
yeah,
to be like, by the way, I hope you know I do, is it okay that I like flirt with other people and then sometimes attracted to other people? I feel like most people would be like, yeah, duh, we're only human.
I assume that special friend flirts with other people. He's still friends with a lot of his exes. I assume like he, I mean...
Yes, but you're very open-minded and and liberal, and I feel like other people raising that to their partners might be very tough. Like, I can imagine some people could get completely shut down if they came up with, hey, so there's a few guys at work that I'm attracted to and I flirt with them a bit. That's cool, right? I feel like some people would be not okay with that.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. I guess I would feel shitty if I was dating somebody and I knew they were flirting with other people. I would need to know what the intent is. Like, if it's a harmless flirting in the way that I'm engaging, then I wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But like, if they're flirting in a way that that there's interest, then that would maybe make me feel weird. And I guess we kind of just were talking about that. And there's no way to really differentiate because if you're flirting with somebody, there's obviously some level of interest to some extent. But it's flirting with intent or flirting without intent.
There's also that stage where like, you negate your partner. Have you ever done that? Where you're like, oh yeah. It's not really that casual. He's like such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Even though like you love them dearly, you're just trying to make yourself more available, but not.
Well, I also think that it's like how early on in the flirtation process you bring up your significant other.
That's another major tricky one.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, you're probably dealing with that right now because you're obviously seeing someone, but you know, you were on the market for a long time, so there's probably ex flames and like, how do you drop it into conversation or when someone's hitting on you on a bar? Like, what have you actually been doing?
Like if a former person who I've dated like gets in touch with me and
I kind of asked you two questions at once. I was like, how are you communicating it to like former flings?
Or somebody gets in touch with me, it's usually like, hey, what's going on? Like, do you want to hang? And I'll be like, sure. Like, actually, if this guy who I used to date, who doesn't live in New York anymore, was in town a couple months ago, and he's like, I'm around, like, let's get together. And I was like, I would love to, but I just want to be completely transparent, like, it would be in a friendly way.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be anything
because
more
because you're seeing someone.
And he's like, oh yeah, of course, like, that's totally fine, I still want to catch up. He didn't get in touch with me.
Yeah
but that's fine. That's kind of expected that. So it depends on if they're getting in touch with me because they want to rekindle things, in which case, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not available anymore.
Yeah.
And with other people?
Like strangers in bars.
I don't go out anymore.
I found that so awkward with boyfriends, like, because if you drop in the boyfriend thing, it presumes that they're hitting on you. It like kind of like, and they might not be. I always felt a bit awkward about that.
If it's somebody who I'm like, immediately want to let them know that I'm not available, I think it's fine to just be like, oh, and I was like hanging out with my boyfriend the other day and we did blah blah,
just drop it into
the conversation.
The worst thing is,
and like, otherwise I just don't feel like there's any need to say anything. Like, if I know it's not going to go anywhere, and if I'm literally just having a conversation with them and I'm just a flirt, like I flirt with men, I flirt with women, I flirt with everybody, then I'm just like, there's no reason to even bring it up because I'm not going to go home with them.
Right.
I'm not leading them on. I'm not like doing anything. If I'm like having a conversation with somebody, then I don't feel like there's any need to bring it up.
Yeah, if there is chemistry, you would probably have to drop it in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good rule.
Yeah.
If you feel like there could be something, then it's important to stake the claim pretty early on.
So what advice do we have for this lady that's written in?
It sounds like she needs to kind of do a little bit of self-reflection about why she's flirting with somebody in a way that's making her feel guilty.
Yeah, so why she's feeling guilty about the flirting or why she's doing... I mean,
you said they've been together for a while, right?
Yes.
So there's also like, is it because she's scared that things are about to go to the next step of the relationship? Like, is this a fear response? Is there?
Yeah. Or is it just what happens when you've been with someone for 6 years and somebody new and exciting comes along?
Yeah, that's hard.
I think, reflection, what is it about the other person that's
making her feel?
Yeah.
Is it something that's lacking in the relationship or is it just like fun?
Wow, we could have a therapy show.
Oh my God, we should. We're basically therapists.
I love this.
We're shit eyes and we're therapists.
Yep. All right, well, final section date of the week.
Oh, yeah.
You came up with a great one.
Yeah, well, I didn't. Special friend did. He was so wonderful. It was my birthday like 20 days ago.
Happy birthday, Jamie.
Thank you. I turned 15. Pretty excited. Okay, 23, let's be honest.
I was going to say, we're about to get arrested.
So, yeah, we, special friend, I had said to him, like, I want to go on a nice date. And he's like, great, I'm going to plan something. And he was so freaking adorable. He like, made a plan. And he kept on asking me if I want to know where we were going. And I was like, no, surprise me. And he did up until, like, the day of. And we went for an early birthday. And I told him I like to celebrate my birthday for a whole month. So we went in October. My birthday's in September. So he listened, which is adorable. And he showed up and he was wearing a tie. He looked so cute.
Aw.
It was so sweet. And we went to Bond Street. And he'd apparently asked two women who work for him for good places that have a lot of fish on the menu, because I'm a pescatarian.
Aww.
And he's like, yeah, like, they're super cool and trendy, so I knew that it was going to be a good place. And it was delicious. Oh, my God. You recommended the tuna pizza or something like that. It was fucking delicious. There was, like, truffle oil on it. It was heaven on a plate.
So I'm a restaurant slut, so clearly I'd been before. I'd been on a very special date there with my parents for one of my, I think my 30th birthday or something like that, so a few years back. And I'd been recommended it from a foodie friend who said, yeah, the tuna tart and the crispy rice were the two things she recommended. The tuna tart is like
godly. Orgasmic.
Yeah, totally orgasmic. Yeah.
Melts in your mouth.
And it's very romantic in there. It's got three levels as well. Mm-hmm. So you can be, they've got a bar in the basement. I don't know if you went down there.
Mm-hmm. Bar on the second floor and the third floor.
And then, yeah, and then like a ground and then upstairs. And it's like a townhouse, but like a stunning high-end Japanese restaurant. Yeah. And it's
very
sexy. It's a good date space. Very sexy. And it's on Bond Street, obviously. Yeah. In what area is that? Noho Soho?
I don't know. Trendy place.
Did you have dessert?
We got ice cream on the way home.
Ice cream on the way home.
We both love our ice cream.
Oh, so good. It's delicious. You want to really impress a special guy or girl in your life, take them to Bond Street. It's like not too pretentious either. It's just kind of great.
Uh-oh. Are we about to die?
No, we're good. We're good. Right, yeah, we're about to die. So that is our date of the week.
Not us, the computer. No, the computer.
Oh, we had our last meal. We're good.
3% left.
2% battery.
Guys, but it lasted through the episode, miraculously.
It did. It's like Hanukkah, the bread and the oil that lasted for 8 days.
The miracle
to
get down low down. Amazing.
I've loved doing this with you.
This episode was so fun.
It was good. It was a goodie. Some serious bits, but you know, we can do serious.
Yeah.
Hot.
We're smart and intelligent and sexy.
All at the same time.
And as always, thank you to Jessica Rothman for doing our incredible artwork, which you guys can see on our Instagram and on our website.
And Adam Charity for making us sound as good as we look. Just kidding. That was really big-headed. No,
but not really.
Yeah, he's a sound wizard, so thanks, Adam.
He is. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
Love you. Bye. Mm-hmm. Kisses.